You can go ahead and open up in your Bible to Colossians chapter 1 this morning. Theology is the study of God and His relations with the universe. And we have a very simple theology here at Cornerstone Church. Our theology, our understanding of God and His ways, all passes through our understanding of Jesus Christ. Our doctrine must be Christ-centered. Our preaching must be Christ-centered. Our understanding of Paul's letters, of Luke and Peter and John is with great consideration of what Christ said and taught. We know God because He sent His Son into the world. This is Christ Sunday, and this won't be a traditional Christmas message per se, but it is focused on the reason for the season, upon Jesus Christ, and taking seriously what He said to us. I observe things quite closely, everything that has to do with church and following Jesus, and I notice, you know, what sells real well. What sells real well in Christian books and Christian material, if it has anything to do with financial increase, you can sell a lot of books. If it has anything to do with my life being blessed, you can sell a lot of books. You can get a lot of people interested in the abundant life that Jesus promised us. But then, if you talk about the process, you talk about discipleship, you talk about what it really means to be a Christ follower, people's interest level really declines when it seems like, well, that's a commitment. That seems like, you know, even when you preach sermons, I know the kinds of sermons that get a lot of reinforcement with hearty amens. And it's very tempting as someone to stands up that communicates, and it's a very insecure thing that we do, is all we get is the response of people, and you want to preach those messages that get people to shout or get people to say amen, or that was some really good stuff this morning, preacher, you know, pop the clutch, preacher, let us have it, come on somebody, all that kind of stuff. But as a shepherd, as a leader, as one who will stand before God someday to give account of how I used this position, I have to bring us back to serious consideration of Jesus' teaching. And so we begin this morning of what we're calling the Jesus way. I want Jesus' results. I want the blessed life. I want to be prosperous and I want to have good success. I want the devourer to be rebuked for my sake. I can quote every promise practically from the Word of God because I've been studying the Scripture since I've been 10 years old. We had a nice meal together with some pastor friends recently. We've been trying to get together for months and months, and finally, right before Christmas, we were able to get together in Kansas City, and the pastor and I were talking, Michelle and Susan were talking, and we were just talking about that things have to be done oftentimes in order. It's been a long time since I've had to put together an intricate, detailed list of follow the instructions. You know, on the night before Christmas, if you understand what I mean. But boy, you know, sometimes you get those things out of order, and the kitchen set doesn't look like a kitchen set. You can't skip. You can't skip ahead. You have to do first things first. And again, we want the result. But I think sometimes we want to bypass the process. How many of you really enjoy indoor plumbing? I know it makes me old, but I remember my grandparents' house on the farm, and it didn't have. I remember taking the trip to the outhouse. Can you believe I'm that old? But in my lifetime, my grandparents did not have a flush toilet in their house. Now, later they did. But if you want to have indoor plumbing in your house, you've got to do things in order. When you're building that house, come on, I see Lawrence here. You got to do some underground work and laying some pipe and doing some things before you pour the slab. If the slab is poured, you're going to have a little bit of trouble if you haven't done first things first. So as we go into this new year, we're going to take very seriously, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of heaven. And then all these wonderful things will be added to you. So let's pray. Father, we come today to seriously consider what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. That when we call ourselves Christian, we are in essence announcing to the world, we are like Christ. Well, Lord, we come before you recognizing this fact. There's a whole lot about us. There's a whole lot about our attitude. There's a whole lot about our daily actions. Even the words that come out of our mouth that truly are not like Christ. And Lord, we've submitted ourselves to you. We submit ourselves to one another. We submit ourselves to the Word of God today to correct this fact. Lord, we do want to know you. And to know you is to know Jesus. So we ask today, borrowing from a prayer that Paul prayed for the church of Ephesus, that we would know you. That you would reveal to us the exceeding riches of your glory, the exceeding greatness of your power towards us as believers. Reveal yourself to us today. And right now, Father, we make a commitment to you, to ourselves, that we are going to be doers of your word and not hearers only now in Jesus' name. Amen. If I am to know God, I will know him through Jesus. If I'm to gain knowledge, it's deposited in Jesus. If I'm to find wisdom, I will find it in Jesus. If God dwells in me, it's because Jesus dwells in me. If I wish to study God, I must study Jesus. If the Holy Spirit is active in my life, he will speak of Jesus. I want to make a statement right now, and I want you to remember it. God is Christ-like, and in him is no un-Christ-likeness at all. If you want to know God, we know God through Jesus. Jesus defines our concept of God as well as our concept of what the perfect expression of humanity is also. Colossians chapter 1, and you can just leave it open all day in Colossians 1 because we won't be going anywhere else this morning. Colossians 1 verse 15. He is the image of the invisible, speaking of him, he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him, by Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven and are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. What does God look like? He looks exactly like Jesus. He is the visible image of the invisible God. Jesus Christ is over all of creation. He created everything that we see and everything that we don't see. He created atoms before we knew there was such a thing. Are you following me? He created all the beings that exist, angels and so forth, that we don't see. Everything was created through him, and everything was created for him. Everything was created for God. That includes you. And that includes me. I think we need to pause just sometimes, and this is just such a wonderful time of the year. We are taking a little bit of a break even in our midweek services. We won't be here Wednesday night. We won't have a New Year's Eve service. There are times where we need to devote to family, but also to personal reflection. You know, I sit down at this time of the year every year, and I go through the past year and what was accomplished, what did we fail to accomplish, you know, what was successful and what mistakes did I make that need to be corrected? Am I spending time with the people that I should be spending time with? Am I spending time doing the things that I should be doing? Am I using the resources God gave me in the way that would glorify him? It's just a good practice. And when I look at the future of our church, I just see so much, and I see so much expansion. Something that God put in my heart a few years ago, we're beginning to see that thing come to pass right before our eyes. Aaron sent me a message after last Sunday. He was just beside himself with joy. 205 people. He said, I can't believe it. You understand, we say that. Like, this is way beyond what I could even imagine. I said, well, I can go back in my prayer journal, and this is exactly, almost to the exact number of people that the Lord showed me would happen. And there's more to come. I want the result, but it requires the process. And it's time for us to seriously consider again, what does it mean to follow Christ? The church has to do this. The church, I don't know if you've noticed, but church is a lot different than it was 10 years ago. Church is a lot different than it was 3 years ago. Society is so much different. How many of you saw that thing of what life was like 100 years ago that was floating around on the internet yesterday? You know, the average lifespan, 48 years and things like that. And you know, there was less than 1,000 murders in the entire United States of America 100 years ago. Things like that. Come on, the world's different, so we have to go back and examine what bedrock, unshaped. I mean, aren't you looking? I just saw an article this morning about how people are really, really, really turning away from technology. Well, obviously, most of the world is into it, because I also read about the guy that walked off the cliff in San Diego to his death staring at his phone. No, this is for real. It happened yesterday. He was looking at his phone and walked off the edge of a cliff, and they had to bring in equipment to lower down to recover the body. He walked to his own death, staring at his phone, walked off the edge. And the next day I find an article about the younger people that, you know, are duct taping over, you know, the camera on their computer because they're tired of other people watching their every move. There's a lot in flux in our world today. Can you say amen to that? We don't know which way to turn. I mean, look at even the politics that are happening this year. Aren't they the most extreme that you've seen in your entire lifetime? The popularity of extreme one thing and extreme the other thing, and those are the most popular things. Not much in the middle. Did you notice that? We're looking for answers that we can't find. I think we need to go back to the very bedrock of why are we created? Why are we even here? Why do we even exist? 1647, the church. You know, the church had been around for almost 1700 years, and the church said, wait a minute, we're not sure we're doing this right. We're not sure that this is what Jesus died for. We're not sure that we're following after something that's real and true. And they locked themselves into rooms and they had discussions and they began to ask questions. A catechism is a summary of the principles of a religion in the form of questions and answers. And I know I use this from time to time, but it's so profound to me. In the Westminster Assembly, 1647, they prepared a catechism of 105 questions and 105 answers. And I have that on my bookshelf. Question number one, the first question leads to every other question, correct? If you don't get the first question right, again in order. Lindy just went through some higher up level of chemistry that I've never gone to. Here's your tutor right here in the third row, Dr. Collins. All right, he understands chemistry. I got the first things real well. But when we got into that last unit, my freshman year of chemistry, and I'd started cutting classes every Friday, I thought I could show up and just, because before I was fine, but I realized I missed some things. And because I missed these important things, I am now completely lost. And I absolutely, completely failed the final exam in chemistry my freshman year of college. And my really strong grade plummeted. Because I failed to pay attention to the proper order of things. Are you following me? I thought I had it. Question number one, what is the chief end of man? Because if we don't get this right, we can't just show up later and want the answers to question 50 and 52 and 57. Are you following me? The things that we really want to get to. If we don't answer this first question right, if we don't get this right, we're going to be completely off course for the rest of the exam. Are you following me? What is the chief end of man? Now that's 1600s language, which I don't mind. I love history. I've been devouring books of the invasion of India from the 15 and 1600s. That's my thing, probably not your thing. We would say it this way, what is the purpose of man? We would say it, why are we here? Why was I born? What is the chief end of man? Question number one. The answer is this, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That's Colossians chapter 1. We were created by Jesus, and we were created for Jesus. That's our purpose. My purpose in life, your purpose in life, whether you fulfill it or not, You know, you could miss your whole purpose your whole entire life. The purpose of everybody's life, whether they acknowledge it, whether they fulfill it, whether they're walking in it or not, is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. We, along with the entire universe, were created to glorify and to enjoy God. C.S. Lewis said, "The church exists for nothing else but to draw men into Christ and to make them into little Christs, Christ-like." If they are not doing that, if the church is not drawing men into Christ and making them like Christ, little Christ, if they are not doing that, all the cathedrals, clergy, missions, sermons, and even the Bible itself are simply a waste of time. God became man for no other purpose. It is even doubtful whether the whole universe was created for any other purpose. The whole universe was made for Christ, and everything is to be gathered together in Him. Amen. The church, according to our text, is the body of Christ. Our relationship with the church should always be in consideration that she is the body of Christ. Would you treat Christ in the same way that you treat the church? Because it is the same thing. The church is Christ's body. Would you treat Christ the way that you treat the church? And I'm telling you, you do treat Christ the way that you treat the church, because the church is the body of Christ. Are you following me? I love to sing. I love to listen. I bought a really good speaker so that I could listen to my music really well, so that it would sound good. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter as much what we sing as what we do. We sing a lot of songs about complete surrender. We sing a lot of songs about bowing ourselves prostrate before the Lord in complete, absolute abandon. But I don't find myself living the same way that I sing. Good Christmas message, Pastor. Thank you. The church is fractured and diseased because of lack of consideration that this is the body of Christ. I'm going to tear into something here. You okay? Everybody all right? Look at your neighbor. Make sure they're still awake. The idea of personal relationship with Christ is both right and wrong. It is right that we as individuals now can have this close relationship with God. That's what makes it right. We have direct access to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what makes personal relationship with God right. But it is wrong to think that my action or my inaction do not affect other people. I am completely accountable to Christ and also equally accountable then to the rest of Christ's body. I am in fact part of the body of Christ. It's not so personal that I can do so. I cannot have my relationship with God outside of the context of Christ's body. That's impossible. So if you have some kind of relationship with God out of the context of Christ's body, then you, in fact, it's a misnomer. It's a misconception. What you're having is not a relationship with God. Because our theology all runs through Jesus, and the church is the body of Christ. There is no such thing as the self-styled religion that so many people are following today. You know, I love Jesus, but I hate the church. That's a contradictory statement. You can't love Jesus and not love the church, because the church is the body of Christ. So stop lying about it. Quit deciding that you have a different way of following Jesus that doesn't have anything to do with the ways that we've been following Jesus since Jesus died on the cross. You don't get to make those rules. You don't get to make that determination. And you're not really following Jesus. That's a lie. Good Christmas preaching, sir. Come on. But there's no reason to sing about the baby that was born in Bethlehem until we're prepared to follow him with our life. Jesus didn't die on the cross just to make you feel better for a few days and to give you a warm feeling. There is no real expression of Christianity except in connection with Christ's body, the church. We are individual members of Christ's body. Ephesians 4:16, don't turn there, says, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now look at this. Look at Colossians 1, verse 17. That he may have preeminence. Fancy talk. That Christ may have preeminence. What does this mean? Preeminence means exalted in rank or honor above all others. You've heard of eminent domain, right? The power of the state to take private property for personal or for public use. In other words, the state can come in and say, you know what? We need a road here more than you need a house here. Therefore, we, by eminent domain, take your house and all of your property, and we will give you reasonable compensation, but you're not going to live here anymore. Your personal, private rights must yield to the state. We've decided your personal whatever doesn't matter as much as we need a road here. I heard about this. My friend from Hong Kong, his dad was some kind of an engineer that had to do with the railroad. And I don't mean just like working on the railroad. I mean, he's like the guy that laid out the tracks and you know, tunneled through mountains and that kind of an engineer. And he retired from the railroad and bought this beautiful property and built these beautiful gardens and fountains and put a train track on his property in Australia and had an actual little train on it. And he'd take the little grandkids on little... And the Australian government came in and said, no, we're going to bring... Because of the growth of that area so much, the actual train is now going to come through your property. Eminent domain has taken over, and you don't get to live here anymore. You know, the real ironic thing of that is this man was on the commission that had determined the route of the railroad previously, but after his retirement, the growth of that area had escalated so much that they rerouted his original plans, and his property was now the property, and he's going to be having to move like in the next few months. This is very current. So we understand eminent domain, that the needs of the state are greater than your individual needs. I want to read this because I wrote it down, something that really came out of my heart. When I choose to follow Christ, I surrender the private use of my life to the preeminent one. The eminent domain of the kingdom of heaven ranks above my private claims to the use of my life. When I choose to follow Christ, I'll say it again. I surrender the private use of my life to the preeminent one. Jesus is preeminent in all things. The eminent domain of the kingdom of heaven ranks above my private claims to the use of my life. My life was bought by God with the blood of Jesus Christ. It is no longer mine. My life is not my own. It was bought with the price. There's been reasonable compensation paid for the use of my life. Actually, beyond reason. Jesus is Lord is a radical claim. We put it on bumper stickers. We say it. But it's a radical claim. It means that He is the ultimate authority in my life and that whatever He says goes. And I follow with unquestioned obedience. Most problems, Dallas Willard, great theologian, Dallas Theological Seminary, said most problems in the church today can be explained by the fact that too many members have not yet decided to follow Christ. I've had a horrible thought lately, but I think it's true. There are a lot of people that consider themselves Christian today. And I'm not here, it's way above my pay grade to know about your eternity and where you're going or not going. I'm not the judge, but I do believe this. There are a lot of people who consider themselves to be Christians who really are not disciples of Jesus Christ. There's nothing about their life except maybe church attendance that would suggest really that they're following Jesus. Nothing about their life is really any different. Forget the things that we normally measure following Christ about, you know, cursing or drinking or smoking or all of that stuff. I don't find a lot of scripture about that stuff. That previously we defined our Christianity, we don't do this, we don't do that, we don't do the other thing. Again, I'm not saying let's all party and let's all get wasted. I mean, that's just absurd. That's just stupid. But I want you to think about it. You know, are you really willing to just drop everything, follow Jesus with just being obedient? We decide, well, you know what? Yeah, I like this. I don't like that. I'll do this. I won't do that. But that's not Jesus as Lord. I can't read you this morning. I really can't. Because Jesus said something very profound. He said, if anyone wants to be my disciple, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his very, very famous book, The Cost of Discipleship, said Christianity without discipleship is always Christianity without Christ. He also wrote, when all is said and done, the life of faith is nothing if not an unending struggle of the Spirit with every available weapon against the flesh. I'm going to borrow from the lyrics of very famous and very favorite of mine Christmas song. On this Christ Sunday, I ask, do you see what I see? Because here's what I see. I see self-focused, self-interested, self-consumed, selfish people claiming to be followers of Jesus Christ. I see that when I look in the mirror. So I honestly, if this is a good sermon today, it's because I'm preaching at me and I invite you to listen. I see many who are also disgusted with this attitude in themselves. People who are sick and tired of living meaningless lives. people who are ready for a radical change, ready to be transformed into the image of Christ, ready to become genuine disciples of Jesus. I see a church full of people devoting themselves to the teaching and the ways of Jesus. Multitudes. Multitudes of people that hear this message. This message is being preached at Milan and Cameron today and here and across the internet. I see a church full of people devoting themselves to the teaching and the ways of Jesus. And multitudes allowing Jesus to alter their values and their habits. I see repentant people ready for radical change. I see a congregation of disciples ready to truly live the Jesus way. On this Christ Sunday, I know I challenged you. I know I've been in our face. I know I've provoked you. Maybe even made you mad. But can we consider it seriously why Jesus came to the earth? He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And there's no other way to the Father except through me. And so Chad's going to lead us in a song that I've been singing my whole life, since the 70s at least. I have decided to follow Jesus. I would say it might be a great day for you to get up from your seat and really come into the altar area and put your face in some carpet and say, Lord, I am so sorry for the way that I've been living my life, my attitudes, my actions, my words, my selfishness. If we have to blow out every candle so we don't light any hair on fire, I'm okay with that. But you can repent in your seat. But sometimes there's something about that action of stepping out from where I am and walking in front of a group of people that I'm confessing my sin. James says, confess your faults to one another. Pray for one another that you may be. We all want to be healed. But maybe we need to go through the process. Would you stand to your feet? And let's do some serious business with the Lord for just a couple of minutes before we're dismissed. You know, I really just had a flashback moment of being a teenager. I remember singing this song. I remember singing, Though None Go With Me, and really assuming that nobody was going to do this except me. I mean, I grew up in a youth group and a lot of kids in the youth group and so forth, but come on, we were playing a game. It was fun. It was enjoyable. We played ping pong. We played hockey. We messed with our teachers. We made them cry. Come on, but you know, we had a good time. And I looked around at my group of friends and thought, we're not really any different than anybody else. And I remember singing this song thinking, I don't think any of these guys are going to do this. But I will. And that sounds arrogant, but I think there's a moment in our life where we just decide, I don't care about anything else. And you know what? I was sitting there with my face in the carpet going, no, I didn't sign up to be successful. I didn't sign up to be blessed. I didn't sign up to be famous. When I sang this song as a teenager, I just wanted to be obedient. I just wanted to do what God wanted me to do. That was it. I had no thought that would make me known or bring in money into my pocket. As a matter of fact, I assume I was probably surrendering all of those things. But you know what? God's just, He's just faithful to His Word. You seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He just adds these other things to your life. And I can go a lot of places around the world. People know who I am or they're glad I'm there. You know, I got a text message on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day from India. Man, they're so excited about it. But I didn't sign up to be known. And, you know, we could buy Christmas presents for our family and had money left over. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. I remember we had to charge them when we started. I remember not having enough credit limit to buy Christmas for everybody when we started in life. And God has added. Come on, somebody. But I didn't sign up for all that. I just signed up to be obedient. Next Sunday, we're really going to examine our lives. Today, I just wanted to make you mad. I think I did. Mission accomplished by the looks on your faces. Next Sunday, I mean, we're going to evaluate our lives. Those of you that will come back. You know, Jesus said some hard things and the whole crowd left and he looked at the disciples and said, "Are you leaving?" Also, they said, "You have the words of life. We're not going anywhere." Man, I have not done my job unless I make you happy or mad. Seriously. And so I intended to get the 2x4 out today, and I did. Next week, we're going to, after we stop spinning, we're going to look and see, are we really following Jesus according to what he said? I hope you come back to hear it. Happy New Year. We love you. God bless you. You're dismissed.